Welcome. This is Econa Day Unplugged, and today is March 21st, 2017. I am Ann Picker, Econa Day's chief economist, and with me are Jeremy Hawkins and Mark Pender. Jeremy is in London, but Mark is in the U.S. After last week's rush of events, we have time this week to more closely evaluate the various central bank moves and what they mean for policies going forward. This week is the calm after last week's deluge of economic data and central bank pronouncements. Inflation seems to be the topic du jour, however. Mark, nowhere more than here.
Yes. Well, it is... If you include energy, we're getting a big base effect from weak prices last year. If you take that away, prices are pretty much moving sideways. I think Janet Yellen described it, how the charts look in last week's press conference when she said the core rate is probably going to inch up to 2% and stabilize. That's what it kind of looks like. But if you include energy, things are going straight up. But that's going to be a temporary effect because energy prices then about mid-year last year leveled off. So we're going to get an easing effect in that. And then we're going to get kind of a sideways movement, I think. So I think that's it on inflation. But what's excluded there, of course, is wage inflation. Now, wage inflation hasn't moved yet. It's still under 3%. And if that does kick in, considering how full the employment picture is, then we could see then a general acceleration outside of energy. So I think that that's right now it's a pretty stable outlook here from the U.S. on the inflation side.
So, Mark, let's ask you a question. Let's play devil's advocate since it's always good fun. Let's assume then that core inflation, as you say, heads towards 2% and stabilizes. Is it then going to be the case that if we don't see some kind of pickup in wage growth, then all of a sudden the idea that the Fed's going to tighten another twice or how many times this year goes out the window?
Well, that's interesting. It certainly would take the pressure off. The results from the FOMC had a little bit of a dovish feel. I mean, they didn't accelerate their outlook. So it is possible that if you get the benign inflation or the flat inflation outlook, which really, I'm not sure it would be surprising if it does, if that is the outlook. And I guess that would be tied to low productivity or why we are not having wage inflation is a very interesting question. And so much of, you know, the Fed with Nehru and is tied to this, you know, iron fisted rule that, lack of workers creates wage inflation. But we still have to see it yet. But it could change the whole picture. Am I right? Is this the global right now? What's going on globally with prices, basically?
Well, certainly, if I'm just take the UK example today, which really does sort of set the cat among the proverbial pigeons in many ways. For people who haven't seen it yet, inflation in the UK on a headline basis went up to 2.3% as of February. And that's its first reading above the 2% target level since 2013. And in contrast, perhaps to your side, we've already seen core inflation jump sharply as well. That's also now running at 2%, which is the highest it's seen for what, the best part of 3 years or so.
Well, so how did you get the rise in the core rate?
Well, this is it. This is a real question mark now. Where is it coming from? I think over here, where we do fit in very much in the same sort of picture as the US, is that if you look at wages, which is one of the supposed leading indicators of inflation, they're still extremely soft. In fact, from a UK labour market report we had out last week, it showed real earnings growth, supposedly one of the determinants of what's going to happen to, you know, consumer spending, that dropped down to zero. So it kind of indicates that, you know, wages aren't really going anywhere. So I think, and if we're not going to see the Bank of England reacting to this, is going to be because the real explanation for the acceleration in inflation here is due to matters beyond our control, and that's the pound. clearly the big depreciation of the pound is coming through in terms of most of the measures of import prices and so on. And producer price inflation in terms of input costs is running at a 20% year-on-year rate now. And that's really due to what's been going on with the exchange rate.
Which is tied to the politics, right?
Which is tied very much to Brexit and politics and all this kind of stuff. But it's going to be interesting now because, just quickly mention some of the policy side here, the Bank of England last week in its MPC meeting saw the first dissent that we've seen on the policy decision, with Christine Forbes calling for a 25 basis point hike. That's the first one we've seen in a long while now. And it does suggest that, you know, there are some people here who are starting to get agitated. Well, perhaps inflation is going up. We should do something about it. And there's other members of the MPC who are saying, well, it may be going up, but it's not really our fault because the domestic economy doesn't justify it. So that combined with Brexit makes it, you know, an extremely volatile time over here.
But I thought the UK was picking up a little bit in the economy. And if it has, why hasn't it been reflected in the pound?
Well, it has been to some extent. I mean, last week when we finally saw Mrs. May deciding to go for and press the Brexit button, at least that will happen on Wednesday week, that saw the pound being hit by the usual political uncertainty. Today's inflation news has certainly seen financial markets start talking more about the possibility of an early hike in interest rates, and that's duly helped the pound. But there's a big question mark, I think, at the moment of where the UK economy is going. As you mentioned, there have been some genuinely strong indicators of UK growth. But if you look at the likes of retail sales, they've declined in three consecutive months now. And I think that probably means in terms of this week's figures, now we've got inflation out of the way, it's going to be Thursday when we get the updated retail sales data for February, which could have a disproportionate impact on what happens to the pound and indeed expectations about what's going to happen to interest rates.
I have one quick aside I just wanted to get in. We had a very interesting retail event. This was the big snowstorm that hit the East Coast. This was an enormous storm. This is like once out of every 25 years. This is bound to start affecting the economic data coming out of the U.S., especially on the consumer and other places, too. It'll be interesting to see. Of course, it'll be temporary, but it'll be something people are talking about.
Yes, last week was not good on the weather front. What about the other indicators, Jeremy, that are coming out this week? For example, the flash and PMIs. Are you looking for anything there that might give more a better look as what's happening in the European economy?
Well, we certainly hope so. So I've talked very much about the UK. In terms of the Eurozone, of course, on the whole, it appears to be doing quite well. But since an improvement at the very start of the year, it seems as if growth has been pretty well flatlining. And I think, you know, the worry for the ECB members is that, well, it's fine that growth is doing better than it was, but it still really needs to accelerate further if we're going to see it starting to feed through into the core measure of inflation. I mean, going back to what Mark was talking about a short while ago, you know, this low level of core inflation, is it typical everywhere? Well, not necessarily in the UK, but for the Eurozone, yes, core inflation is still running at below 1%. And the sensor B has been at the same level now for the best part of a year. So these flash PMIs, as you mentioned on Friday, I think, are certainly going to help to determine at least near-term investor sentiment as to whether or not this economic recovery in Europe really is gaining traction or it's still just a case of more of the same.
More back to the inflation question in the Eurozone and how a little bit of inflation has impacted the ECB and its policy. We always say 1 month's data does not make a trend, but certainly among some ECB board members, that's not the case.
No, I think that's right. I mean, I think it's perfectly fair to say now, and indeed we're going to see this, I think, in upcoming ECB minutes, that there's a growing divide within the ECB now about what policies, you know, what sort of stance policies should be taking. Clearly, for the time being, Mr. Draghi's got his way, and it's the compromise of leaving everything on hold, or at least as described back in December time. But I think for those countries where we do have a genuine signs of an inflation problem, notably Germany, where, of course, the labour market market there is extremely tight. They would really like to see a faster pace of reduction in quantitative easing and ultimately perhaps even a hike in interest rates. So I think in the same way as we got this apparent early indications of a divide within the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee, so we're going to start to see, I think, more of the same coming through within the ECB itself.
What about the Fed, Mark?
Well, I think the Fed right now is, you know, it won't be until mid-year, I think, that on their pace right now that there would be serious talk of a rate hike. They are talking about unwinding their balance sheet. They've initiated the discussion. So that'll take a while to see. But I just wanted to add, we're talking on Tuesday, and it looks like on Thursday we're going to have a vote to possibly repeal Obamacare. And this will be a big moment for the Trump administration. And if there's delays or something, and we're seeing selling in the dollar right now, so that this could be a question of immediate impact. How successful will the Trump policies be?
So, Anne, in terms of, we talked a bit about, well, fair chunk, I suppose, Eurozone and UK and the US. What about the likes of the RBA and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand in terms of potential shifts in rates and so on there?
They seem rather sanguine about inflation as we speak. Inflation is running at the bottom level or midpoint of both RBA and RBNZ's inflation target zones. Inflation is not going to be the issue there. What is an issue for Australia is housing prices. Does that sound familiar, guys? And there, according to the minutes that were released last night, that is a primary concern. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand meets tomorrow. No change in their policy rate of 1.75% is expected. Interestingly enough, New Zealand is concerned about tourism, namely too much of it that is overburdening their facilities. So it should be interesting to see if the bank has anything to say about that.
Interesting.
Of course, in Japan, we don't have to worry about inflation at a tenth of a percent from a year ago. They're still fighting the fight that everybody else seems to be not doing anymore. Okay, guys, that's it for this week. Take care.